It's March 8th, draft number 29 here on Splash Play. And of course, it's Friday. So that means it's Zero RB Friday. And normally, of course, I'm trying to draft Zero RB anyway, but Friday is a day we're guaranteed to do it live on stream. Of course, I am already in a big board draft. 200K to first place on Underdog for this one. All the rookies available, all the free agents available, and lots of fun news out there. Free agency already afoot. Jonnu Smith got cut. He got signed by the Dolphins, and he's going to be an elevated version of Durham Smythe there. That is a big news item. Reports also this morning, Saquon Barkley potentially to the Eagles is a rumor that's floating around out there. Apparently, the local beat writers here, or local radio guys here, I guess, and beat writers picking it up, talking about the fact that the Eagles interested in Saquon, Saquon interested in the Eagles. So we're going to see how that goes. But again, already in a draft room here in the two hole. See what we get on the Zero RB Friday. And I think it's hard for me in the two hole to pass up CeeDee Lamb. So let's just do it. We'll go binary here. Two hole. CeeDee Lamb it is. Checking the chat now. Of course, the chat is live. John is what Smythe wanted to be. And Travioli. Oh my God, you guys. This is like now becoming a bit to taunt me, I feel like. But yes, people's regulars in the room. And of course, hearing back of that, people are tired of hearing about the regulars in the room and comments after the video. So we'll try to persevere here. I'm not going to focus on it, unfortunately, for you guys who do want to get in draft rooms, because I just think it's time to move on and try to adjust to the draft landscape that does sometimes change. We have more regulars than not in a draft room, of course. How I was in and left. I did see people coming in the room and leaving too, which is equally insane. I appreciate your guys' enthusiasm here on Splash with getting to draft rooms, but there'll be times where I make it easier. You don't have to like go nuts about it, but whatever. We got some regulars here, including Vaporware at the turn. He'll be picking, and I'm sure you have to assume probably to be inclined to take some wide receivers at his spot. Garrett Wilson, a popular pick at the turn, but maybe we'll see what a Sad Goblin does here. Sad Goblin, kind of a hilarious name. I don't know many goblins that are sad. I feel like goblins seem to generally reveling in their enthusiasm for misanthropy. I guess, is that how you say that? I think it is. Von Achan goes at 11 to Sad Goblin. So that made him a happy goblin. Again, I just feel like a goblin should be full of joy. Like even the green goblin, like joyful, throwing all those bombs and such. Borderline terrorism acts. Sad Goblin living. Achan and Harrison. Fun start. You know, hard to argue it's not a fun start. I don't know if that's like the most plus EV start. Two guys who normally go in the second round, but a unique combo. As we talk about, uniqueness, definitely something you can strive for when you are in a draft. Here we go. Best Ball Brian here. Guy, I think does a good job on Twitter. That's what I'll give my kudos for Brian here. Glad to see him here live. And I'm definitely always glad to see new names in here, regulars in here. Always a joy here on Splash. Of course, doing drafts Monday to Friday at 11 a.m. every day. That is a promise. Actually, did a counter as well. Did a little Google search yesterday to figure out if I do stream just one draft a day, like one draft every weekday, rather, until football season starts. I think it only puts us a little bit over 120 drafts from now moving forward. So probably about less than 150 overall. So I'm going to have to do something to make up the volume here, because my goal is to stream more drafts in a year than anybody has. That's really fundamentally what we're at right now. So I have to figure out how to do that, which I think is going to be some marathon days over the course of the spring and summer. But that's the goal. We got to get to like at least 200 stream drafts for the year, I think. That'll make me feel really good. If I get to 200, I get a nice round number, right? And then we could say I'm the Guinness World Record holder of people who've streamed best ball drafts, which I don't know if Guinness is going to clock that, but they should. Sad Goblin is a fun name. There we go. Saquon 101. Saquon, I think, would be more appropriate there. If Saquon goes to the Eagles, I mean, he's probably overpriced in ADP, but that would be a nut landing spot for him. But if he goes to the Eagles, I don't think you're stoked to have him at pick 18 with Jalen Hurts stealing 10 touchdowns in a given year, if not more. Even without Jason Kelce, I don't think the touch push is going away. So we got CeeDee Lamb. Really not a lot here that I think would be unique for us. I like Diggs enough. As I've mentioned many times, I do think Diggs is a little bit undervalued. Debo, I'm just not crazy about it. I am going to take Debo here. I think I'm doing a chalky thing. I was thinking about reaching for DK Metcalf, who, again, I do believe could be a big beneficiary of potentially Tyler Lockett leaving, as well as new offensive coordinator there, who comes from the University of Washington. Did a great job forcing Michael Penix, or allowing Michael Penix, rather, to get the ball downfield aggressively. So I don't mind reaching for Metcalf. Don't mind reaching for Malik Nabers. I have not gotten a lot of Chris Olave. I have taken a good amount of A.T. Perry late. Olave theoretically benefits from Michael Thomas being gone fully as well. Another year of experience, Olave going year two to year three. Year one to year two is a big leap. Year two to year three can also be as big of a leap, if not a bigger leap for some guys. So getting Olave here, I think, is fair. Don't think you get this combo incredibly often, but obviously I'm sure it goes a good amount. We're getting Lamb, Debo, Olave, but definitely a sound foundation here, if nothing else. And Debo, as we talked about many times on here, the one out for things getting materially better for him is going to be if Brandon Ayuk doesn't come back. So definitely a possibility there. Ayuk can force a trade. He is looking for a long-term extension, so we'll see if that happens. But if not, we're just getting a part of the Niners offense and some theoretical leverage, even if I feel like it's always more theoretical leverage than practical leverage on Christian McCaffrey going to the one hole. Two at a time, double your sploosh. No double on stream. I feel like, honestly, last year, a lot of my BBM teams, ones I did off stream, were teams that I was doing two at a time because I do find it manageable to do two at a time. But I think I might try to cut out the two at a time this year because, again, going back to that poker book, the A-game poker, which I haven't read in a couple weeks, so full disclosure, I didn't finish it because they was asking you to do work, and like I don't have time to do like workbook kind of activities. But they talk about, again, the idea of like, you know, what would a top poker player do? What would a top player at your, at, you know, what you're trying to do, they probably wouldn't do two tables at once. Like if you have to do two tables because you're trying to get in a bunch of entries at the end of August, you should do that. But in July and May, just because I'm bored and I have ADD, I probably shouldn't do that. So that's going to be one change as well. I'm in my process that is slightly informed by content I've read before. The great thing about Olave is that Carr goes so late, it supports a 3QB build. Sure. I mean, you could also not take Carr. Again, I think that is one of the things for stacks where we don't have a ton of belief in the QB, though Carr was as hot as anybody weeks 15 through 17. So I'm okay taking Carr. Again, going to be the starting QB again for the Saints because of the fact they have no wiggle room at all contract-wise. So we will see how he actually does, but certainly for Derek Carr, the opportunity is there. And unfortunately for them, they are firmly tied to him. And frankly, it seemed like they got more tied to him as the season went on, where Taysom Hill snaps started to plummet pretty bad, even though he had a couple good weeks because of getting touchdowns. He went from being a 20-snap game guy to, you know, I think was about 10 to 12 at the end of the season at a high. So Taysom was going the wrong way and probably a good thing for Carr. New offensive scheme for Olave. Yeah, I mean, definitely the upside hope there. I don't know how much it's going to change. I think Dennis Allen still being the head coach, and he is really inheriting a lot of things that has previously from Sean Payton, where a lot of kind of checkdown-y stuff, which is not Derek Carr's game. But if you're going to keep Derek Carr for two more years and you're going to do the contract stuff that they did to keep him there, then I think you just try to be a little more vertical, which is definitely more his style and would obviously benefit Olave pretty well. All right, so we have Lamb, Debo, Olave. Obviously, it's a zero RB situation, so I don't see Pacheco. Pacheco's some concern too. The Eckler to KC thing, him replacing McKinnon, I think makes a little bit too much sense to me. McBride, I don't mind. Jaden Reed, I've been trying to get a little bit more of. And I'm going to keep doing that. Jaden Reed, come on down. You are my wide receiver four. And Jaden Reed is a wide receiver four in a fairly target agnostic, deliberately Green Bay offense. I feel pretty good about that. G money here. Trey McBride for him. Trey McBride, we talked about. I think he probably comes down a little bit in ADP if we do see a Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers go to Arizona, but it probably shouldn't affect him that much. Like it shouldn't affect him. It will affect him because anytime there's another high-level pass catcher that comes into an offense, you see guys' ADPs drop. I think McBride in the late 40s, 50s would be fine by me, but I would guess he goes down to like early 60s, maybe late 50s, early 60s if Harrison or Nabers goes there. Addison, I don't mind, would give us a little bit of leverage on a Justin Jefferson getting into the playoffs. McLaurin, though, I think is undervalued. A very high likelihood that Drake May goes to Washington. If that's the case, Drake May is going to force the ball downfield. If it's not Drake May, it's going to be Jay Daniels, who's also a better passer downfield. So two really good outs for Terry McLaurin. Another guy I mentioned, I do want to increase my exposure to, so we're going to get him here. Not a sexy pick, but is a good one. Carr has historically struggled his first year in a new scheme. I wouldn't necessarily hold that as gospel because there's so many variables that go in. How good is the coach at teaching it? How good are the players around him and installing it? So I wouldn't put that all on Carr. And it's like a kind of a small sample size thing. Like he's had what, you know, three new schemes in his career, maybe four. So like you're talking about four events. There's not enough of a sample size there to say, oh, this is how it works. You got to have like hundreds of things occurring to feel like there's an actual sample size for something. Solid piss start. Yeah, the team so far, CeeDee Lamb, Deebo Samuel, Chris Olave, Jaden Reed, and Terry McLaurin. So look, it's Zero RB Fridays. We're going to decide coming up on pick 71, pick 74, if I go full extreme Zero RB, add on one more wide receiver, or if we dial it back here. And we could still go Zero RB for a couple more rounds if we want. You know, if there's a tight end that makes sense at 71, not opposed to going there. If there's a QB at 71, wouldn't be opposed to going there. But we are definitely going to hit a run of QBs coming up that might be a little bit tough. Carr's historically poor in the red zone, but new OC with motion could help a bit. Look, I think the main thing for a new offensive coordinator is like you're just buying in on the variability of it. And you have to assume if you're drafting the guy or drafting the stack or whatever, that this team is suddenly going to be so much better and that they're going to be worlds better than it was ever thought possible. And the ADPs are going to smash. I think it's fundamentally the main thing to make the bet on. And that's one of the biggest mistakes that we talk about on the flip side of that, where people go, oh, Tennessee, like that offense, bleh. It's so gross. How could it have Hopkins and Burks and Chig and a running back do well? And it's like, it's a completely new situation. So that's how it could do that. So just being aware of that volatility that could come with a new coaching staff or a new OC or whatever the case may be. And just trying to embrace it if you have the guy and you're taking him in a draft, I think is the main thing. Like, I don't know that I believe that Derek Carr is going to be worlds better, but if I'm taking Derek Carr and I'm taking Chris Olave, I'm making the bet the Saints are going to be worlds better, and that probably makes me a little more interested in Kamara as well. Our guy Tyler in the chat actually pointed out something to me, Nick Underhill reporting, I guess, a little bit, or I don't know if it's reporting, but at least innuendoing about the idea that Alvin Kamara might be back on a discounted deal because of the fact that the Saints are so capped out. Kamara also in free agency would really be swimming upstream trying to get a deal against all these guys that are going to be out there, whether you think he's better or not. It's still a lot of competition for a deal. So it seems like we should be maybe planning on Kamara to come back to the Saints, which would obviously bump down Kendre Miller, though Kendre Miller at his ADP is already kind of bumped down. And maybe give you a little more interest in Kamara, but I don't know. He was so dust last year that I really don't want to rely on Kamara. But if Kamara were there at 74, 80, I don't know. I'm all right with it. That's going to be the case. We're going to make that pick a little bit more. Love the Terry pick. I think Terry, again, really undervalued. He's got two really good outs for a QB to throw it downfield. Unless Washington is smoke screening entirely and goes J.J. McCarthy. And even then, McCarthy is a positive EPA receiver who had a good completed ball rate, or good catchable ball rate, rather. So I think that for Washington, no matter what, there's going to be a good situation for McLaurin. And frankly, with how they treated Sam Howell last year / Sam Howell played, like Howell was a downfield thrower and a competent one. But I think Washington, the way they forced him to check down so much, kind of ruined his downfield confidence / ability / whatever the case may be. And McLaurin did not do well in that situation. But I think if somebody's going to give him, you know, 150, 200 air yards in a game, and that's what Drake May does. Drake May, the most willing deep ball thrower in the class. Jaden Daniels, the best deep thrower in the class. Both guys will do it well for him. All right, 0050. We have some running backs here who I don't mind. Josh Jacobs. Again, we just talked about Alvin Kamara. So we could fully end the zero RB run and probably feel pretty good about attacking the position. We also could go even more zero RB, and it's Friday. I mean, we got Jaden Reed. What, are we not going to take Christian Watson? One of my favorites, just because of how awful last year went, and really, it did go awful in every possible way, and I cannot forget that. Christian Watson, remember when he was still playing down the home stretch before he hurt his hamstring for the second time, third time in a year? I think he was playing pretty well, so Christian Watson, going to always play the upside here. And we already got the bet on Jaden Reed. So this might be time for a Jordan Love stack coming up. We will see. Honestly, we could continue to punt running back. And I don't think that would be crazy either. Let's see what G-Money does here. Not to confuse the G-Baby. Rest in peace. Never forget. We don't want our Little League kids in movies with Keanu Reeves as a coach dying in tragic ways. 0060 here. So we are done at wide receiver for a little bit, I would say. We could go slight discount on Dalton Kincaid. Could also take Dak for the correlation with CeeDee Lamb. And I think that is what we are going to do here. Kamara would have also been fine with what we just talked about. But I think for this build, Dak is going to make a little bit more sense. Christian Watson, yucky, yucky. Adam, fucky, fucky. Yui, yui. That's what I would say. Christian Watson, last year, definitely came back down to earth. The year before last, though, one of the top EPA receivers in the league. Christian Watson last year. Where are we at? Let me pull up the board for you guys while I look up numbers. And we'll give the team a read in a moment as well. Christian Watson got back to a negative 0.09 EPA per target. So I'm not mad at that. 22% target route run rate. A dot for him was 15.2 yards. it's going to get better for Christian Watson. So it is what it is, man. I believe in Christian Watson. Especially as wide receiver six. Like, I was taking Christian Watson last year, obviously, you know, in the late 30s where he was going ADP-wise. And sometimes I was also reaching for him and had Justin Jefferson in the one hole. And I still think the thesis of that play was correct, especially when we saw Jaden Reed actually going off in week 17 with Christian Watson unavailable. So somebody went off in Green Bay. It just wasn't Christian Watson going against Justin Jefferson in week 17. Point being, though, like, I think for Christian Watson, I was willing to go there last year. He's now year two going into year three. The hamstring is not going to go away, but the hope is that he's going to treat it well this year. And, you know, he's young enough that he can recover, have a good career with that. Keenan Allen, let's not forget, like, he obviously was out the back half, or not the back half, but the back stretch of last year. And he had hamstring issues for a lot of his career, too, and then didn't have them last year. And I guess, I don't think that was his hamstring late. He just didn't seem like he wanted to play. And it might have been another part of his body that was hurt, too. So, like, hamstring stuff can go away. I would hope with Christian Watson it does. But obviously, we are now a couple years. It's not great. Love Wicks over Watson given coaching talk. LaFleur compared to Adams. Reiterate rotation of wide receivers, including Reed. I can't pass up the fact, though, that, like, Christian Watson is a freak athlete who, again, has shown the big upside before. Like, I like Wicks, too. I think what's fundamentally is going to be there is, like, you could go with a lot of these different guys, which does hurt Jaden Reed's ADP a little bit in my mind. But they've talked about, like, they want to be kind of an agnostic offense where you're trading spike weeks back and forth. With 1 week, it's Jaden Reed killing you. 1 week, it's Christian Watson killing you. 1 week, it's Musgrave or Kraft killing you. 1 week, it's, I guess, maybe Dobbs still, but probably more likely Wicks and then Dobbs. And even Bo Melton, who, like, showed some spike weeks down the home stretch. Like, I think that's, you know, that's what they've said they want their offense to be. So I think, to me, you know, if you're taking these guys, you probably want to go cheapest to highest in general. But Jaden Reed, I thought, showed a lot last year. The Debo-ish abilities, I think, are there. And again, year one to year two. So to me, taking the flyer, year one to year two guys, but they're all year two, year three guys. So can't really go wrong to me with Green Bay stack, but I like the guys I like. I'm not going to ever dislike Christian Watson. You can't talk me out of a guy who gets as open as he does, who's as big as he does, who's as fast as he is. I'll keep giving him a shot until I die or he dies. His hamstring falls off. I see what you're saying in chat, M for Life, Jay, and I don't wish to jinx that, but the mighty oil is going. Cool People is going. Let's see. I hope. All right. Mighty Oil was Cool People. Is Cool People going to be Cool People? Yes, he is. Jordan Love, come on down. Team, we're going to read in a moment, but I do like the seam. Could add on Dobbs if I wanted to, really, but we're going to take running backs. You got to take running backs at some point, I would think. And that point is probably now. Wish Watts was cheaper to affect some risk, absorb some risk. Yeah, I think that's fair. I wish Watson were cheaper too, but then I'd be taking him even more. I think Watson is still finding his footing in price. I kind of think it's going to come up over the course of the offseason. So Dobbs would be okay here, but obviously we do have to take a running back at some point, given that it's round nine. And I don't see how Raheem Mostert is not a good pick at this point. I guess there's some risk that the Dolphins upset their entire rotation. But if that's the case, Achane is also being wildly misdrafted, especially in this draft, where he went at pick 11. So I think taking Mostert at pick 98, feel pretty good about that as my start to a zero RB build. Gotta go. I think it would force me to draft a running back at some point, but look, if I could, I would. If running back were just a flex position, trust me, I'd be much lower on running back than I am already. But zero RB Friday's team so far on the zero RB Friday team, Dak Prescott, Jordan Love, Raheem Mostert, CeeDee Lamb, Debo Samuel, Chris Olave, Jaden Reed, Terry McLaurin, and Christian Watson. We do not have a tight end yet, but we are set at QB. Definitely do not need another one there. Nice value for Jordan Love. Pretty good value for Mostert. Everybody else mostly at ADP or a little bit before it for our enthusiastic picks, I'd suppose. Thank you. I agree. This is a great 2QB build. Yesterday we went with a bit of a weirdo 4QB build, 4 tight end build, which I also liked. It all comes down to the draft capital. I think if you're taking guys in this range, you kind of want it to be a 2QB build. And also, I'm very happy taking Justin Fields at 74 when we have, or taking Dak Prescott at 74 when we have Justin Fields at 75. Really, again, the concerns for Justin Fields not getting a good landing spot where he could actually start, or maybe one where there's some risk to him to start all year. I think that's getting more and more likely to be a likelihood by the day. So for Justin Fields, I don't know. I think he should come down a little bit, and he's not coming down. But I appreciate cool people being cool people and letting me get Jordan Love. So don't want to critique him too hard. Very fun team, I agree. Since the Dolphins spent all offseason last year talking about upgrading running back and given Mostert's role, I think it's highly unlikely Mostert repeats last year's magic. He doesn't have to repeat the magic. He has to give me 60% of that magic. And I think he's still a very trusted back. And I don't know if they spent all offseason trying to upgrade it. I think that they wanted to surround him with some depth because he's had obviously a lot of injuries in the past. And he still had some this year too. So that's definitely not gone. But I think he has earned the opportunity to get the lead back role unless the wheels fall off. So again, if I'm drafting him at 98, which I'm still okay with, even if the wheels do fall off, I'm drafting him in the hopes that the wheels don't fall off. So I'm perfectly okay taking him at 98. If I were reaching for him, then yeah. But I think that at that point, four picks after ADP, I'll give him. If he gives you like three, especially in a ZORB build, if he gives you 3 to 4 usable games throughout the course of a year, he probably paid off his ADP. If he just allows me to kind of, withstand the ebbs and flows of a ZORB team and not having the running back production there, especially if he gives me like the 40 points that he was able to put up this past year. Maybe not quite 40, but like 30 to 40. I'm happy to take that once or twice in a year and have that be the ADP payoff. Let's see. Ferguson, Kraft, Musgrave. Musgrave is probably my favorite of those guys at ADP. I think that Kraft did a good job last year. To me, he's clearly the Jonnu Smith of last year to the Kyle Pitts of Luke Musgrave, I think, in that tight end room. So for Musgrave, we kind of saw it in the playoffs too, with Musgrave even coming off the 4 weeks for a lacerated kidney. Was back in the playoffs being used a little bit more. For Musgrave, though, I think he's a lot more live to take a big leap. He was such a tremendous downfield target in college and just wasn't used that way so much last year because when he was healthy and able to go, Jordan Love was not as confident, not as good at withstanding pressure. By the end of the year, he got there. And we saw in the playoffs, like the one route that he ran where he just basically beat everybody going out to the outside in a fade. And Jordan Love hit him in perfect stride. He was wide open. Like there's going to be a lot more of that, I think, next year for Musgrave. So out of those guys, like I'm happy to get Ferguson, but I think Musgrave would probably be my preferred relative to ADPs. Hard for me to take Jonathan Brooks, knowing that I need production at running back right now. So I am going to go for Chuba Hubbard here, who I do believe is a little bit undervalued. A lot of good signals so far from Carolina about running the ball. Some positive signals so far for Chuba Hubbard being the lead back. We'll see if that holds over the course of an entire offseason, both where we're drafting right now. I think you take the shot on Chuba Hubbard and hope that works out. Also would not have minded Ty Chandler going for one of my two picks, but we're going to have to get a little more creative at running back because Jonathan Brooks and Ty Chandler both go off the board. Brooks for my build probably wouldn't have made the most sense, I would think. Roshan, of course, you guys might remember, very much in the bag for him last year. Kind of an unlucky run out for him in particular when he got hurt, when Khalil Herbert was out. Then Deonta Foreman came in and had his resurgence and then ended up being a solid play for the back half down the stretch. He was still getting work. Next year, though, Deonta Foreman not going to be back. So I would say for Roshan Johnson, new world, new coaching staff, probably a lot less QB runs, even though Caleb Williams does run more than people think. So for Roshan here, I think we got a lot of upside to go. And I expect him to lead the backfield, even though Khalil Herbert is under contract for one more year. I think Roshan, you give him probably 55% of the touches. Maybe if we're lucky, we get 60 to 75% because he's in for pass protection on passing downs. But I think for Roshan, you got to take your shots on him. I'm okay taking Herbert too in builds where you're not taking Roshan. And I guess theoretically you could do both. What's my Chuba exposure? I feel like you see him on the squad every time I draft. I think it's just been the last few this week. I can't imagine it's that high. I'll look in a separate tab. Because I actually think he's been coming off the board a lot more than I like before I want to take him usually. Let's see. I think I'm missing a few drafts in exposure. Let me try and refresh. All right, there we go. Chuba, he's at 43% of my teams, excluding the little boards, 40%. No, never mind, 15%. I was reading the wrong column. I was looking at actually the money I've spent on him. No, he is on $43 worth of teams and 17% of my teams. So within the range here that I'm comfortable with, and people have been asking me too about exposures. For the big board, I think you get it a little bit looser, but I am generally trying to be myself 16%, so 2x the field for guys that I feel pretty good about. 24% of guys that I really feel like I have my full throat behind, my full backing behind. And that is hopefully my max is going to be 24% this year because last year, the 30% for Christian Watson, the 30%, or actually I got to like 26% for AR, didn't help me out. The injuries, like the draft capital being misallocated, So like injury stuff in particular, I would like to protect myself from a little bit more this year while still having the ability to have like some level of takes. Chuba probably lucks into the starting role again this year. Solid pick. If he gets like Rashad White level work, he's going to be a tremendous pick at ADP. The issue is that, you know, again, Miles Sanders still there. They did pay him money. I think they probably kicked the tires on him to see if he has like, if you get a little more out of him. And that's the thing with the new coaching staff is like, it is an ambiguous backfield. Fucking man, this guy took Musgrave at 135, two tight ends for him. Yeah, a little bit ahead of ADP for Musgrave, which is kind of annoying, but I wasn't going to take Musgrave at pick 122. So it is what it is. Might have to fall back to old Tucker Kraft, or I could just take unstacked tight ends. We'll see what we do later on. Jane Daniels goes to our guy M for life in the chat. Pick 137. That is too good of a discount. Who's the favorite for Minnesota QB spot right now? I honestly don't know. I still think it's a rookie. I would think it's probably McCarthy or maybe trading up for Jaden Daniels. I wouldn't rule out the Kirk Cousins thing just because if they do come to the table and give him a guaranteed second year, I think he would be there and be willing to be there. Let me take my guy here. I'm going to take Devin Singletary, who still think that Houston's going to want the continuity based on that deal they gave to Dalton Schultz. I think he's going to be back. But obviously, a little bit of risk here. The hope is that he is not going to price himself out of jobs in free agency and get somewhere faster with a better opportunity than, let's say, a Josh Jacobs or a Saquon. Drake May goes to G-Money. Could have been a logical pick for me, even though, obviously, with Dak and Jordan Love, we don't need a third QB. But with the bet on Terry McLaurin, that is kind of a bet on either Drake May or Jaden Daniels. But we are going to not go that way. I could take Brandon Cooks here as a wide receiver 7. Though I don't think that helps us out. We passed on Kamara before. I do like still making bets on Kendre Miller and the chance that the Saints do not restructure Kamara or he doesn't want to restructure. So let's go Kendre here. Because I'm also 0 at tight end, could have maybe taken a Michael Mayer. Pat Freiermuth getting the Arthur Smith bump with tight end production could be there, though you got to imagine it's going to be the same bullshit with him and Darnell Washington being involved and some two tight end stuff like the Falcons did last year. So I could have done tight end, but I really think that this 5 RB room for 0 RB room, feel pretty good about this. So team so far, Dak Prescott, Jordan Love at QB, at running back, Raheem Mostert, Chuba Hubbard, Roschon Johnson, Devin Singletary, Kendre Miller, and that's the running back room. At CeeDee Lamb, leading us off at wide receiver, Deebo Samuel, Chris Olave, Jaden Reed, Terry McLaurin, and my man from last year, who I've not gotten a lot of so far this year, Christian Watson. So we got a double stack and a single stack. Feeling good about that. Guys, again, we have drafts going on here every day, and also a lot of you guys watching live, so please do subscribe down below. I'll give you the bigger one. Subscribe, hit the like button, leave a comment. Splash button that march to 4K subs, to 5K subs, to 10K subs. We can't do without your support, so please do subscribe here. And again, be a part of this journey. Part of what makes me good at doing content for the regular season is being prepared in February and March and April and all of that, and tracking the news as we go, and that's part of the process here. Of course, we talk about news items, talk about rumors, talk about things that should shift ADP here every day. I'm also Underdog, of course, promo code SPLASH on there. Double your deposit up to $100. Ready to build your bankroll if you're playing for Underdogs for the first time. And of course, if you're new to best ball drafts, just hop in there. Do some drafts. $10 entry fee in this one, $200K to first place. And of course, it's a lot of fun drafting where a lot of uncertainty still in the world. So if you're comfortable with that, hop in here and do some drafts. And why not? Stochastic, promo code SPLASH on there as well. 50% off of the promo code SPLASH. Check the link in the description as well. Same thing on there. You get all their Sims products, all their data products on Stochastic for 15% off, including NBA. Again, I'll be doing the... I'm going to do it because Alex is out of town. My wife is out of town this weekend, or at least for one more night, rather. She's out of town for work / going to see a play trip with her mom. So tonight I'm doing NBA, but I'm also going to be responsible for Luca and then have to do his bedtime somehow at bedtime and bath time. amidst that. So that's going to be tough. Hopefully injuries get wrapped up by 6:30. There's nobody out. And then we're cleared till like 7:30 is going to be the hope. But I'll be playing the $4 150 max tonight in NBA, and Stochastic Tools do a great job for that. So check that out. Here's their sticker. Look at that sticker. Isaiah Likely goes pick 163. A little bit lofty, but tight end is getting bled out pretty bad. And I am going to be pretty much boned at the position, it looks like. All right, well, we got the bet on New Orleans. We're going to go up and get Juwan Johnson and just hope that that keeps on rolling for one more year. And I really have a hard time with Darren Waller. I keep taking him in drafts. I'm okay taking him in a three tight end build, but like the retirement quotes don't fill me with joy. I still think he comes back one more payday. He's getting divorced from Kelsey Plum. At least those are the rumors out there. So like you're getting divorced. I think you come back for one more payday that you're not going to have to give away to your significant other potentially. I presume he's made more than Kelsey Plum and would be the one giving money away. All right. So I think we have to go Kate Otten here, right? We could push tight end even later. But Cade's okay. Maybe we get New Orleans, Tampa Bay for week 17. I can live with it. Kate Otten, tight end 2 here. So a little bit of a bet on New Orleans without going Derek Carr's way. So we're kind of making a bet that both Dak and Jordan Love can beat Derek Carr in week 17, which is a perfectly fine bet to make. QB here, Dak Prescott, Jordan Love, running back, Raheem Mostert, Chuba Hubbard, Roschon Johnson, Devin Singletary, and Kendre Miller. At wide receiver, CeeDee Lamb, Deebo Samuel, Chris Olave, Jaden Reed, Terry McLaurin, and Christian Watson. And a tight end, Juwan Johnson and Kate Otten. So tight end, definitely the weak spot here. But a QB at running back, at wide receiver, I don't feel bad about the seam at all. So for a zero RB team, I think we made up pretty well at running back. Maybe could have used one more from this stretch instead of two tight ends, but I wanted to get tight end wrapped up and not could have maybe pushed you on, but I just don't trust this room. This room's been a little bit weird with tight end. Let's see. Thanks. That's a weird joke to make, man. Like, I know Vaporware does that a lot, but like, social grace, something like that. I have to do bedtime bath time with my wife being 8 months pregnant. Oh boy, not so bad. I do it every night, to be clear, but it's doing it with basketball. So usually if I'm doing a basketball slate, my wife will do the bath and I'll come in and finish them off with some books. But I'll come in and do the books part, and that's usually how that goes. Like, because he falls asleep better if I'm the one doing the books and telling him bedtime, because otherwise, like with mom, he just wants to keep hanging out. And in the middle of the night, he also wakes up and demands she pick him up, which is where we are, which is crazy given that he's going to be 2 in about 12 days or 11 days. So that's where we are in our life. But yeah, I always do bath time and bedtime unless it's an NBA slate. And then thankfully get a little support there to get everything done. Because with injuries and shit in NBA, it's like you got to be usually active until like 6:59, like swapping shit, moving it around. Especially if you're like me and you're massaging exposures and all that. Finish him off. Made the same joke in my head for you. Did there you go. I mean, he could have been finish him off like like death. Could have been finish him off like jerking him off. He is getting, I don't know if I should be talking about this, but it, Parrot Corner, stealing it from Bill Simmons and Cousin Sal. He's getting little boners now. Apparently. I don't know that I've seen it myself firsthand. If I have, I haven't noticed, but Alex told me the other day that he's getting little boners. He's just poking out. Got the little mushroom head. You know, I think we all know how dicks work. I think we get it. So great time to be alive. Derek Carr goes to DWI too. Fun team name, I guess. DWI had to take him for the correlation with nobody. So wasn't going to take Derek Carr, but very nice that this guy took an uncorrelated Luke Musgrave and also took an uncorrelated Derek Carr. Is what it is. He's got a DWI going, so I don't, you know, he could be impaired. Hey, look, you know, if it's my channel at the end of the day, I'm going to talk about baby boners. I'm going to bitch at people, take all my players that I like. I'm going to do the things I do on stream. Ultimately, that's how this channel's always going to go. It's not a democracy. I'm going to talk about baby boners as much as I please. Darren Waller still here is not a bad pick for somebody who has no tight ends. Tucker Kraft also still here, does correlate more. We're going to go Tucker Kraft. Darren Waller apparently already retired is what it looks like based on him being available now. 30 picks after ADP. We get our third tight end. Play free agent outcomes being positive for Gibson or Dobbins is a play. Kenneth Gainwell not getting somebody coming into Philadelphia, not getting a Saquon at the very least, who's going to probably command enough contract that he would have to get playing time. We're going to do that. Kenneth Gainwell, still my guy at running back. I still think fundamentally, like until Philadelphia brings in a replacement for DeAndre Swift or re-signs DeAndre Swift, Gainwell's too cheap. And he's somehow coming down in ADP. It's not like they've had a quota at any point in the combine where they're like, yeah, you know what? The one thing we're not going to do next year, go back with Kenneth Gainwell as our lead back. Like, that's not been said at any point. And I do think that for me, you can hate Gainwell. You can think that he's had similar opportunities in the past. He's had some bad injury luck for sure. He's a little bit small. I don't expect him to be a 20-touch back. But can he be a lead back at 15 touches? Can he be like the Zeke Tony Pollard year for Tony Pollard? I think he can. So I'm taking him at 194. That's my logic. Good, good. Baby Winner is my college punk band name. That's all I can ask. It's not a bit. It's at 194. Okay, look, who are you? Compare him to the guys here. It's Gainwell or Antonio Gibson. Antonio Gibson, if he went to Philly, he's not better than Gainwell, so whatever. Dobbins could get a good outcome. I do believe that, but he's coming off of like Achilles injuries again. Achilles injuries are not things that have a high recovery rate for running backs, so that's not a great one. Damian Pierce would need not only Devin Singletary to not come back, but them not to sign anybody else, and for the coaching staff to fall back in love with them when they clearly fell out of love with them. A.J. Dillon has an okay free agent outcome, but I don't think it's a better situation than Kenneth Gainwell's right now, where he is the presumptive starter. Abani Konda, pure handcuff. Zeke might not have a job. Bigsby, I'm okay with. Rodriguez, they have not talked about him at all. Dan Quinn talked actively about Brian Robinson. So who are you taking Gainwell over? Like, I think Gainwell's a much better pick than all those guys. I'm not a Shipley guy either. Gainwell has size. I'm giving the lead back role longer than Gainwell. I'd take Zeke even. No, I don't agree with that. I think Tyler's down on Gainwell in general, but I don't agree with that at all. And also, Tyler's in the bag for big Antonio Gibson. I know a lot of you guys are out there. Fucking Gibson hasn't been good for like 3 years in a row. Can we give up the ghost of Antonio Gibson? He's also getting older. Like, you're not going to suddenly improve. His best shot is being that same kind of thing, being the McKinnon replacement in KC, where he's getting pass game work. But honestly, any sharp team, I don't think should actually be giving him pass game work. He was negative 0.1 EPA per rush guy last year, negative 0.04 EPA per reception. He's not actually good at anything. Doesn't avoid tackles either, I don't think. Yeah, he's okay. 16.9% is okay. That's middle of the pack. Shut up, Tyler, a covert operative for big Antonio Gibson. I took no Gibson last year. Sure you did. That's how they get you. Gibson couldn't earn a starting role in one of the worst teams in the league. Gibson offers next to nothing. Gibson only 25. Fucking great. So he's still hitting the cliff. Like, he's hitting the cliff. So these were his best years. These were his salad days. Were him right now going off. Not going to get better. His peak was at what? Like the one 200-yard receiving or rushing day. Like, that was it. I don't even think he actually got 200. I'm just saying 200. It was basically 200. But like, that's it, man. It's been all downhill since then. And then people chasing that, like, oh, what if he does it again? What if he does? And in a free agent class like this one, Gibson is so low, man. But you don't know, because he could take that cheap deal. That's like why you take these guys in this range, is that they could take that cheap deal and end up in a better situation. But yeah, I don't think he's back to Washington. And if he is back to Washington, I don't think it's going to get better for him. Gainwell just offers no real upside. He's a total floor play, not busty enough for me to want to do ground play, wrestle. Okay, that took a turn. Gainwell, let's look at the numbers. Yeah, Gainwell last year wasn't good. Negative 0.14 EPA per rush, negative 0.06 EPA per pass. So we are talking Antonio Gibson there. And frankly, a lower avoided tackle rate of 13%. But it's just the depth chart for Philly, though. Like, I get the talent part of it. But sometimes the inertia of just keeping that role and being a trusted hand in the backfield is enough to keep you moving in that right direction. I'm taking Tank Bigsby here, by the way. I think a great RB7 already in the combine time of things. Doug Peterson has said they want to give him more touches as a complement to ATN and get ATN's workload down. So Bigsby, to me, undervalued deeply at pick 215. And I know our guy Tyler in chat will want to hear it. Tank Bigsby is very Kyren Williams-y in that year one, absolutely nothing shown. For Bigsby, it was more bad luck. For Kyren, is a little bit of injury, and I think also, you know, some of the RAS stuff, that he wasn't that big of an athlete. Then he had a year in the system. He got better. For Bigsby, that would be the hope. And Bigsby did show a little bit in college. Was an average rusher in terms of EPA, but did avoid tackles at an okay clip. Just kind of suffered against large men in boxes, 8-man boxes in general. So that's Bigsby's biggest flaw, besides just egregious mistakes that he had. All right, 2763 here. So we can go back to wide receiver if we so wanted. AC Perry actually would make sense in this build because we're trying to capture some weeks where Olave, where Kendre Miller, where Juwan Johnson don't get there. So I'm going to add AT Perry one more time. He's quickly becoming one of my favorite 18th, 19th round, 20th round picks. But again, Kyren was also a shit athlete. And Kyren got in the field and still wasn't good. So I look, the main thing is really don't write off a guy just because year one didn't go well, especially when the team is kind of pot committed to using them. And we already know that Jacksonville's pot committed to using Tank Bigsby. So that's like my main thing for that. Thank you. I agree. He's a great late pick. I'm not, I don't want to do team reviews on stream because I feel like this is where people get annoyed about I get confused about what people really want on these streams. So I'm sure it did well. Russell Wilson, you're taking us in Pittsburgh. Send me a screenshot if you want, or we can talk about it over chat. But it looks fine from what I can see. All right. Agree on the macro. There we go. Am I taking any Jalen McMillan? No, he was hurt this year, but do you mind checking out his analytics from 2022? Yeah, we got a few seconds here. Wide receiver college data. Jalen McMillan. Seeing if I have it. All right, here we go. 33 routes per game, 0.34 EPA. Only played out of the slot and frankly wasn't a high EPA out of the slot, lower EPA there. So he had a few targets out wide that he made that up. Downfield 1.8 targets a game, 0.25 EPA. Yeah, I would say for me, not looking great. Definitely like Polk and Odunze look better, but I guess if McMillan had played all this year, he might've looked a little bit better too, but definitely nothing for McMillan. I'm seeing where I would think he's great. He kind of looks like shitty Josh Downs based on the numbers. He's the one beat Odunze before he got hurt. Based on the numbers, I think Polk and Odunze look a lot better. But that could be a little bit of how Penix played this year as well, slash the willingness of Grubb on offense. Who are some of your favorite RBs to take with your 21st, 22nd, 23rd round? Yes, I know it's only 20 round, but I meant extra RBs past the 230s. There really aren't any RBs that are good at this point. I mean, the guys who are going on the board right now, Dobbins, Zeke, I think would be okay. If Izzy Abanikanda falls, if Bigsby were to fall, I actually haven't seen Bigsby at this spot for a while. So I think Bigsby's a great pick here. But if he were somehow lower, great. Justice Hill's the only signed running back to Baltimore right now. He's still a little bit undervalued. Who else at running back? Emmanuel Wilson, Green Bay might take a shot on him as the RB2. I think he's in play. Eric Gray could be the big winner if Barkley doesn't go back, if Saquon doesn't go back to the Giants. Eric Gray is a guy that, again, as I've talked about a lot here, forced him onto the field last year to try to get him touches as a punt returner, even though he never punt returned in his life. So for Eric Gray, I think that could be one out. There's also possible that they bring in somebody else, but you're talking about just 20th round picks. Take the flyer. Not a big Dylan Johnson guy, but he's okay. People do like him a little bit. It's probably about it. Kendall Milton would be okay too. He had a pretty good combine, good RAS score. And honestly, I know people aren't going to want to hear this. Isaiah Spiller might be a guy who, much like Gainwell, the depth chart might just push them there because Josh Kelly's done. Eckler's gone, most likely in free agency. So it's going to be Isaiah Spiller leading the backfield for now. And it's possible that he wins over Harbaugh at some point. And, they're going to bring in somebody else. But like, it's an ambiguous backfield. So like, Spiller shouldn't be dead, even though he's being treated like he's dead. Kareem Hunt got offseason surgery. Still wants to play. Unsure what team, but he had, I don't know about Hunt. I probably wouldn't take the flyer there. He got lucky to get that job last year because he knew the offense and then they were just down on guys, and with Chubb going out, it's like, all right, we got to give somebody a shot here. But even then, like, they clearly preferred Ford. They used Hunt in some high leverage spots. So I guess kudos to him, but it wasn't a great sign that nobody signed him. Then he had to go back to a team that didn't really want him in the first place. All right. So 2773 here. Could take, I think, one more tight end probably is the best, given that we did use tight end pretty late. And I'm still in the bag for Ben Sinnott. Theo Johnson here, a much better athlete based on the RAS stuff. But for Ben Sinnott, I think a much better football player overall. And I think he's going to get round two, round three capital would be my guess. Probably closer to round three. So the final team here, a 2774, team number 29 for me in the big board. It's technically team 29, right? Because we did have one thrown out here, but that one is already accounted for because we have lost it already from the first draft we did on stream. Dak Prescott, Jordan Love at QB, Raheem Mostert, Chuba Hubbard, Roschon Johnson, Devin Singletary, Kendre Miller, Kenneth Gainwell, and Tank Bigsby at running back. A wide receiver, CeeDee Lamb, Deebo Samuel, Chris Olave, Jaden Reed, Terry McLaurin, Christian Watson, and A.T. Perry at wide receiver. And a tight end, Juwan Johnson, Cade Otton, Tucker Kraft, and Ben Sinnott at tight end. Maybe could have taken Luke Schoenmaker in the hopes that he could somehow upset Jake Ferguson at tight end. Not the most likely thing. That would have been one logical play to try to get a little bit more correlation for Dak. But the Dak CD thing is strong enough that I'm okay just taking Dak, in a single stack here. I can live with that. Do you know why Barkley's in second round territory where Jacobs? So it's because people still think Saquon is young and has a lot of juice. And Saquon is one of the biggest blind spots of the public in terms of drafting. But yes, he should be closer to a guy like Jacobs, to a guy like Henry. I would put him above Henry, I think, but he's going to ask for so much money that I said before, like he got drafted on a stream here at pick 43. Saquon at pick 43, it would be gold. Saquon at pick 18 is like an awful pick. And you're basically hoping that somebody's going to pay him $10 million a year and give him the best possible spot. And that's not the most likely. So yeah, Saquon to me, not the best one. And those receivers gave Robert Griffin the third Woods. That's all I can ever ask. The draft where the dude jumped 100 spots for Dotson held up. Yes. So that draft never got pulled. The only draft I've had pulled so far was in fact the one where it was the first draft of the year. But yes, the one that I have titled our 21st draft, if you want to check it out, titled Mark Maybe Colluded, has not yet gotten thrown out. Though I don't think he colluded. I think he just drafted poorly. But yes, it is still available. All right, guys, it's the time for the run of plugs here, including the reading of names. So first of all, subscribe down below if you enjoyed the stream. I do drafts Monday to Friday, 11 a.m., and I am just myself on here. I tilt about things. I reflect on things. I talk about the news, the rumors, the analytics, questions. I always answer them on here as well and engage the chat. It is a lot of fun hanging out with you guys every day. So if you want to be part of this here, just hit that join button down below as well, $4.99 a month, and you can be a part of the mix here supporting the show. But either way, just hit that like button and subscribe and leave a comment if you're watching after the fact. Probably, if you get it, the best way to support Splash Play is support Splash Play. Second best way to support my sports betting app, Probably. And this is one too, where if you are losing at betting, and this is something too, where I've noticed from some of our customer interviews, we're doing a little bit more. There's no shame in losing at betting. There's also no shame in using a data tool that gives you plus EV bets over and over again. This week on Probably, Justin bets on content. We're up 10 units. That's obviously not including today. We could lose it all today. That's entirely possible. But like the math is working really well and changes we made to the product are working even better. So if you're on Probably and if you've checked out before and you want it to be even better for you, pay for a membership or get a 7-day free trial in the App Store. Probably scores above 4. That's a new thing you can do. And frankly, that's what I'm doing for all the content. It has been crushing for me. But in general, Probably scores over 2 are great. That gets you out of the margin of error. You're getting a lot of plus EV bets in there. But basically, we track the most profitable sportsbooks around the world, the winningest sportsbooks around the world, to find the best bets according to that data, according to that true probability data. It is a fantastic tool. It's a mobile tool. And we have a lot of really important bills coming up next week. So if you have it in you, sign up for a year, get half off of the promo code SPLASH. But if not, just check a 7-day free trial on the App Store and do that. Underdog, promo code SPLASH as well. Deposit doubled up to $100. Get drafts in your life. Lots of great products on there. And they also help me so I can do pick'ems on stream now again. I can't place pick'ems, but I can now show them to you on stream. So those will be back for football season as well. Stochastic, 15% off, $4 NBA slate tonight on 50 max entries. I'll be doing it. You should do it too. Check it out for yourself. Great tools, great data at Stochastic. And now a very long reading of names coming up. Of course, if you are a paying member here, you get your name read. And actually, no, I think this is everybody. I think I got everybody in. So all the names here who've helped us put on the show this week, now they get their names read. Robert Griffin III, Historical Anomalies, Matthew Emerson, Tyler, CLN, Mathology, Rupesh, Willis is Awesome, Ivan, Rod B. Throbin, Port, Tony Mark, a.k.a. Mark, a.k.a. Io, Rob Van Natten, Brandon Wagner, Consigliere, Aaron D., Nez, Jake Twitchell, fucking Alpha, Mr., Sammy Telesco, I'm the KY, Kevin Castro, Dylan Lauthauser, Lateralis, Eric Swift, Lunchable Connoisseur, Short Gamer TV, Carlos Manzo, Felix Castro, Al Paul, Chunk the Deuce, Jay Strez, Green Checkmark, Mr. TD, Spurious News, Gabe Davis, Bindles, Christopher Leclerc, Frank Evans, also check out Bindles' YouTube channel, Frank Evans, Jonathan W., Thomas Schultz, Laces Out, Ocean, A1, Body Bag Jones, Ben Havard, Kent Lewis, Dale Backus, Hoosier Devo, Christopher, Douglas Shirk, Best Ball Moderate, Crypto Pooper, Golf Course Guy, Kyle Remillard, Benjamin, Rozzy, Mem for Life J, Recipes with Reed, Wounded Geese, Beast Spurf, Fried Bologna Sandwiches, delicious. Seth Wabi, I don't know why it's got weird emojis on that. I'll fix that. Galen Stars, Tanner Wise, Paul V, and our guy Jeff T. You've all helped me put on the show this week, and I appreciate it. You can hit the join button now below, $4.99 a month, and get on this list and get your name read by me once a week. And here's a Drafters plug, too. Drafters is a tournament going. Not doing it on stream yet because they're not paying me, but check out Drafters. Promo code still works. all right. You're serviced. Give me Shifley at 200. The name read bit. My favorite bit of 2024. That's all I can ask about. Second column's cool shit. All right. I love to hear it. Guys, it's been a lot of fun this week. We're doing it again next week. Same thing, Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. I appreciate all you guys hanging out as always. Come back. Bring your questions. Bring your chats. Bring your whatever. And I will be back here bright-eyed and bushy-tailed on Monday at 11 a.m. Enjoy your weekends, draft some zero RB teams, and of course, good luck. Bye.